Well, welcome back to our series called Living Stones. Living Stones. Each of us is like a living stone. We are alive for God, but we are strong in faith, a living stone. And together, Scripture tells us that we are being built up into a spiritual house for the Lord, a house made up of these living stones of all of us. This is the fifth week of our series, and so far we've talked about building a house where people can find love and compassion, a house where everyone has been appointed for greatness by God and plays a unique and important role, a house that is open and welcoming, a house that's worth taking risks for. And today I want to talk with you about building a spiritual home that lasts forever. We all want to be part of something that lasts. A great project at work, or a family, a strong family that lasts a lifetime. Many of us work out, exercise, and eat right so our bodies will last and stay healthy and strong. We invest in the education of our children or grandchildren so that they will make a lasting contribution one day and achieve their dreams. And as we begin to age, we start thinking about leaving a lasting legacy for the success of future generations. All of that is good. God wants us to do those good things. But my message for you today is that the very best investment you could ever make is in building up the spiritual house of God. The greatest legacy you could ever leave is what you do to become the strong living stone of faith God created you to be in His house, because His house is the only thing that truly lasts. That truly lasts. A few months ago, I went out to dinner with a parishioner friend of mine. He's an older gentleman in his 80s, I have a lot of octogenarian friends. I love them. Anyway, from time to time, we get together and we'll share a great meal, and it's a joy to be with him. You know, he's got some health limitations and issues, but he's always so happy and optimistic, uplifting, and likes to smile a lot. I like that. Well, at our last outing, we went to a very expensive restaurant, and we enjoyed a delicious but overpriced meal, you know, with the works, drinks, wine, appetizers, entrees, dessert, coffee, you know, everything. And we were talking about how short life can be, and how we will all one day go home to be with the Lord, how we should be grateful for every moment. And he looked at me and he said, "Father Roger, you should be grateful for this moment. I could die right now and you'd be stuck with the bill. So you better start praying." We laughed and both thought that was funny. And truth be told, I was very grateful for the time with him. But it's easy to forget how precious each moment is. Every day is a gift, and God wants us to make the most of it, to work hard, to be successful, stay healthy and strong. He wants us to have the resources, time, and energy to do great things in this world. But in the end, it is a sign of spiritual maturity to understand that almost nothing we do in this life will last forever. King David's son, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, once wrote in Scripture, "Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity." He was saying that all the work we do, the energy we spend, the words we speak and write, the inventions we dream up, the discoveries we make, will all one day be replaced by the work of future generations. They will be lost. Solomon was reminding us of the sober fact that practically everything we do in this life, all the things we busy ourselves with, will not remain in the end. They will come to an end. You're probably thinking, "Father Roger, I didn't come to church today to get depressed." But look at what Solomon says next in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. He says, "But I have recognized whatever God does endures forever." So when we do the right things for the Lord, what He wants us to do, fulfill the purpose He has given us, pursue the destiny He has set in front of us, become the strong living stones of faith He has made us to be, that is never a waste of time. Because it will always endure into eternity. Into eternity. Every king thought that his kingdom would last forever. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon certainly believed that. You know, he came in to Jerusalem, destroyed the city, wiped out the temple, forced the people to live in their own land. Our first reading today was from the book of Daniel, and Daniel was one of those young men, many young men, taken to Babylon during that deportation. Daniel was an exceptional person in faith, and God gave him many dreams and visions. And one night, he had a vision. He saw four horrible beasts, each more terrifying than the one before. These four beasts represented four kings from four successive kingdoms, kingdoms that came one after the other. The first was King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, where Daniel was held captive. But then next came King Cyrus of Persia, who would go on to conquer Babylon and let all the people go home to their own land. 200 years later, Alexander the Great of Greece would come in and conquer Persia. And then Rome, the greatest imperial force that the ancient world had ever known, would soon defeat the kingdom of Greece. And of course, we know Rome eventually fell itself. None of these kingdoms would last. They would all collapse. In the end, Daniel saw only one kingdom that would go on forever, the kingdom ruled by the Son of Man, the kingdom God promised David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 would never come to an end through his descendant who turned out to be Jesus Christ, the Lord. Every worldly power will eventually be destroyed. Only God's kingdom will last forever. The spiritual house he is building up with us as his living stones. Now, of course, as humans, you know, it's tempting to think, well, you know, if I just work hard enough and use the best materials, draw up detailed plans, strategize, think about every possible option, plan for every potential contingency, then what I create in this life will stand the test of time. As a young man, I kind of thought that. About 40 years ago, when my dad got sick, I moved back into the family home to help my mom and take care of my dad. And after he passed away, I stayed a couple of more years. It was a tough transition for my mom. I had just graduated with my MBA and was looking forward to a great job, but there was a downturn in the economy, so it took me about 6 months to find the right job, a good job for me, what I wanted. I had a lot of time on my hands, so I thought I would do something productive. I decided to build a deck on the back of my mom's house. I thought it would give me something to do, and then she could enjoy the view for the rest of her life. Now, I've never been very handy. I don't know anything about carpentry or construction, so I did what any smart person would do. I'd get a book, right? I got a book and started studying it and read it carefully, learning how to make a deck. And I went to the home goods store, you know, and I picked up everything I needed, lumber, nails, tools, and I carted it home in the old Volvo station wagon my dad had left me. It took many, many trips because the deck I planned to build would be 15 feet off the ground. 15 feet off the ground and run the entire length of the house. It was an ambitious project. And on top of that, I decided to make it extra strong. However many beams, joists, or support pillars the book recommended, I doubled it. In my mind, this deck was going to last forever. Well, I worked and worked and built it and took a long time, but finally, I got it done. I did it all by myself. No one helped me, which was very obvious from all the defects. For one thing, it was about 6 inches too low, so when you opened the back door of the house, you had to make sure that you stepped down about 6 inches and not trip. The columns were all misaligned, and the railings were a hopeless mess. But I was so proud of it. I did it, and it was sturdy and strong. It wasn't much to look at, but it was sturdy and strong. This deck would last at least for my whole life. The rest of my mother's life, so she could enjoy it. We enjoyed it for a couple of more years, and then I moved to California, and what I didn't anticipate was that my mom, soon after I moved, would sell the house and move to Florida to live next door to my brother. A developer bought the house, came in, demolished it, along with my beautiful deck. What had taken me months to build with blood, sweat, and tears, was gone in about an hour. Nothing lasts forever. The people in Babylon, the people who were trapped in Babylon, were finally allowed to go home after about 100 years. And one of the first things they did, it took a little while to get it done, but they rebuilt the temple. It was very important to them. Centuries later, King Herod mounted a massive expansion and renovation program, you know, to expand it and make it even bigger and more beautiful. They had been working on that program for about 46 years when Jesus and his disciples came to town. That new and improved temple was the pride and joy of the king and all the religious leaders. They thought, this temple, this one would never be destroyed. This one would last forever. This one would stand the test of time. The disciples were kind of like small town kids that came to the big city for the first time. They were marveling, in Mark chapter 13, they were marveling at the temple and its beauty. One of them said to Jesus, "Look, teacher, what great stones and great buildings." Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be one stone left upon another that will not be thrown down." He was saying that one day soon, that beautiful temple would be demolished. And that would be a catastrophe for the people. It would be like as if the sun and the moon themselves had darkened, as if the stars of the sky had fallen, as if the powers of heaven themselves had been shaken. That's the language you hear in the gospel reading today. For the Jewish people, the destruction of their temple would be unimaginable. It would be like an apocalypse, the end of the world for them, because the temple was quite literally the center of the universe, they thought. It was the place where God himself dwelled. It was the place where heaven and earth came to meet. But look at what Jesus says today in the gospel reading. He says, "This generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place." He was talking about the destruction of the temple, that one day it would happen. In the Bible, a generation is 40 years. Almost to the day, 40 years from when Jesus spoke those words, that beautiful temple was reduced to rubble by the Roman army. And to this day, it has never been rebuilt. Nothing lasts forever, including beautiful temples. The only thing that lasts forever is the kingdom of God and the spiritual house we are building for him as his living stones. A few weeks ago, I gave last rites to a 51-year-old woman. I met her about 10 years ago when she first began her long journey with cancer. At that time, she was a young, vibrant, beautiful, faith-filled Vietnamese woman. Her name was Bo Lai. And when she first got the diagnosis, you know, she was very scared. Even though she had a lot of faith, you know, it's frightening. And she came to me and we talked several times. I tried to help her through the fear. When I came here to St. Hilary, she started watching us every Sunday online. She couldn't leave the house, but she said this community brought her hope and strength. When I went to her hospital room to give last rites, her whole family was there. A big, faith-filled Vietnamese family, just wonderful people. And they had one of the many things that touched my heart about this experience is that they had set up a little Christmas tree with lights. This is just a few weeks ago, with lights and ornaments, and they even brought presents because, like me, Bo Lai loved the holidays. She looked different than I remembered. She was small, frail, and weak, barely conscious. I gave her the sacrament, and she passed away peacefully the next morning. For her family, and especially her loving husband, it was a terrible tragedy. But for her, I believe it was a moment of glory. A moment of glory. She was so filled with faith. She had a deep and abiding faith. Even in the worst moments of her suffering, she never wavered. She remained a strong, living stone of faith. And because she died in this state of grace, we know that she will be with the Lord forever. that she will be in this one kingdom, the one and only kingdom that will last forever. The kingdom, the first reading says today, in which the wise, those who are wise, will shine like the brightness of the firmament and like stars forever and ever. This is what lasts. The only thing that will endure for eternity is what you and I are doing right now, building up this spiritual house for the Lord. You are His living stones. Next weekend is our annual stewardship weekend. I talked to you a little bit about it last week, and it's the one time a year when we do ask you to consider what your financial giving will be to this parish for the coming calendar year. Not to the Archdiocese, not to Second Collections or other charities, but to this parish. And I ask without a shame or apology because I believe we are doing amazing work here. Our small groups, for example, are helping hundreds of people grow in faith every week. Our online ministry is reaching almost 1,500 people. We're almost at 1,500 subscribers, people who tune in, like Bolai, who can't come to this church, or some can't come to any church, and they get hope and strength from this community. The care and support that we provide in our pastoral ministry program, pastoral visitation ministry, and through our bereavement, addiction, and divorce support groups is bringing healing to people who are hurting and alone. Our missions programs is reaching out to the poor and to those in need, like the turkey drive that we had this morning. Thank you for those of you who donated. It is connecting us with those in need, and it's helping us to grow in faith. All of our efforts comfort and support so many people, people like Balai, whom I visited on her last day of life. Your gifts give us the ability to continue and to grow these wonderful programs and ministries. And so I do ask you to take home a faith commitment card today. They're in your pews. If you haven't already, pray with your family. Consider what you, as a living stone of faith, can do to support this spiritual house of worship. Giving to this spiritual house, we are all raising up together as living stones, is the single best investment you could ever make. Because as Scripture says, God's dominion, the dominion of Christ, is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed.